Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Tyler, the host of the Unleashing Deep End podcast, and we are back for episode 18 of the pod. I'm excited to have a guest. We actually just crossed paths in ETH Denver. Unfortunately, we did not get a chance to do this live, but that's okay. We still get a chance to record it, which is awesome. But I wanted to welcome Shushmit to the pod. He is from an awesome project called Huddle One. I actually have some personal intersections with Huddle One, getting a chance to actually build alongside them, which is really cool. And now we get to chat about everything that they're doing on the podcast. So welcome. How is everything going?
Everything going great, Tyler. And I'm so glad and honored you had me on the podcast. And yeah, I'm very much excited to all the events that's happening around the ETH Denver. And I think the particularly the Deepend, it has like literally exploded. So like every day there was like a Deepend project happening like around the Denver. So a lot of projects I've seen, quite excited for this pair.
Yeah, it's crazy to see how much the space has exploded in such a short amount of time. We're all sort of early pioneers, I guess you could say, from what was not a known term into being pretty much the dominant narrative in crypto right now. It's exciting to see how many projects are announcing things and coming out with just awesome projects, and you guys are certainly in that category. So maybe for everybody who doesn't know who you are, can you share a little bit of background about how you got into the Web3 space? And then if you can talk about how you got into Huddle One, that would be a great place to start it off.
Yep, definitely. So it was like during my college days, so I got interested into blockchain technology. So I was like an open source programmer back then. And then I was just figuring out like, so what are the codes that like actually you do like open source contribution, and it's like economically incentivizing also. Like, so I didn't believe in like private code, which was like a closed garden. So all the FANG companies I like believes like a closed garden. So that's where like Bitcoin happened. So I was like played around Bitcoin, then Ethereum came. I played around Ethereum, made smart contracts, all of those things. And then I built India's first decentralized exchange, and it went out pretty well. And then I took a successful exit with a centralized exchange in CoinDCX, and that it went to become a unicorn on those things. So pretty much like doing all the programming stuff and all of those things. But then I always wanted to build something of the Web3 ethos, like what Satoshi's and everyone actually around envisioned: open source, open, neutral, borderless, decentralized, censorship resistant on that part, and something that adds utility to end users, right? It should like be productive on those things. So I just wanted to build some kind of that products. And that is where I met Ayush in one of the hackathon. And that's where we came up this idea of, okay, we saw like people were propagating this idea of Web3 in a very Web2 way. Like they were using Zoom. So we're like, okay, we'll just decentralize Zoom. And that's where all the rabbit hole we went into. And we started conceptualizing the idea of Huddle One. And so we went and made a product in hackathon. And then inherently people started liking it. Then we went into accelerator. Then we got funded and our team got expanded. And now Huddle is having, like this February, Huddle has it like all-time high on their metrics. So it's been going great.
That's incredible. What an exciting trajectory for the project. And you've definitely been in the space for quite a while, which is amazing to see that story arc starting in Bitcoin, going into the kind of the smart contract realm, and then being a part of a centralized exchange that had quite a bit of success, it sounds like. What was the initial problem set that you guys were looking to solve, specifically around trying to build something that was consumer-facing, that would actually touch end users? But when you're looking at big centralized projects like Zoom, for example, what was sort of the value proposition, if you will, with the decentralized nature of that?
Yeah, so definitely, like one of the core proposition, one that Web3 is very, like it has like a tech might, it has a lot of technologies and a lot of research that actually might bring impact to the normal user, but the learning curve is too high, right? So this where like the Huddle product as a web application like serves as the mass adoption to the Web3. So it just like people use application like Uber or Airbnb, but they need not know about how the internet works on that part. So for normal users, we just want to abstract out the technology, right? So all of the Huddle is like single click away. You don't need to know about Web3 or not need to have about wallet. But underlying technology works on the whole Web3 paradigm. So Zoom uses this client server technology, and client server technology is like 1970s, 1980 technology where like master and slave concept used to exist, right? But right now we are entering a new era where we can replace this client server technology with node to node technology. So which is like more shoulder to shoulder, and it's like more community driven and bottom up, right? So like in every city, there could be a person incentivized enough to host a node, right? And all the meetings would be routed to this people powered hosted nodes. So now this has like performance advantage. It has like security advantage because the nodes are always adhering to the protocol and they have their own incentives of the block reward. But Zoom is like they're giving you for the free. We don't know how they make money and all of those things. Difficult to comment on that part. But definitely it's like a thing that it is like not like content encrypted, but it's like transport encrypted. But with Huddle, all this protocol, we can make it like content encrypted with transport encrypted.
That's really exciting. So many value propositions that are enabled by decentralizing the infrastructure layer, whether it's from censorship resistance or just, you know, ensuring everything's not on a centralized server, that when it crashes, everybody loses as a result of that. So if you were to compare and contrast a product like Zoom with what you're doing at Huddle01, can you just kind of run through the checklist of some of those differences for users and people that might be a participant in the network?
Yeah, so like one of the first key differences is like you can never be a server in the Zoom, right? And you can always be a node into this Huddle network. So whatever like economic incentives like the Zoom generate, it is not given or routed back to the community. Now if Huddle applications make money, it can be routed to the people who are like running the nodes. So rewards are given to them on that part. So this makes it like a bottom approach and more inclusive in nature on those things. And so this is the first part. It's like very inclusive in nature. And on the application layer, like there's always feature sets that actually set us apart. Like you can use NFT as an avatar. You can like multi-stream to like Twitter, LinkedIn within just like one single click. And you can basically customize all of your things. So if you want to make like a game, so wherein like two characters are like working together, so you can do it through our own SDKs. So there's like platform, there's like SDKs, and there's like network. And in everything, you can like participate in a very open nature on those part. So like even to use our Huddle application, you require no login. Like you don't even require to have email or anything. You can just like directly have a meeting on those part. So there are a couple of features that sets Huddle application parts. On the SDKs level also, it's like very cheap and very easy to integrate. And on the network side, you can be like a node into the Huddle network and take a part in its own, in this economy on those things. In Zoom, you cannot take part in Zoom's economy.
Sure. That's a great overview and kind of talking through some of the unique values that can be delivered from your product. Maybe one of the other things that we can talk a little bit about is users are probably familiar with these end user applications, things like Zoom, things like Google Meet, for example, on the application interface. On the RTC side, the real-time communication side, from the protocol level, can you unpack the landscape today and sort of where Huddle01 fits into that landscape and sort of some of the key differentiators in terms of other RTC protocols or networks that are out there?
Yes. So I haven't seen like a decentralized protocol that actually targets real-time communication seeing into this picture. But definitely there are like a Web2 version of it that actually solves this problem. So one is like we can categorize is like one is like the applications type of things. So your Zoom is an application that uses real-time communication technology. Your Google Meet is apps again, Teams, and your Discord, your Twitter space. All of this uses only this one common technology called real-time communication. Now there are they're called communication platform as a service. So they provide these service on which these type of applications can be built. I would say Agora is there, Daily is there, 100ms is there, and those things are there that provide this communication platform as a service. And people can all the developers can use this to make their own application. So we are like kind of the first one to take it, like make it in a decentralized way on that part. So I think this is the state of real-time communication technology that I would believe, but I think it will mature a lot because right now with the new devices that are coming into the picture, like Vision Pro and all of those things, these technologies would shape and take a bit.
Yeah, that's a great overview and explanation. And I think that when you start looking at the new paradigms of applications with things like Vision Pro and whatnot, there's quite a bit of untapped opportunity there. So maybe one of the next things that we could talk about are real world applications that are being built on Huddle01 today. And then, or I'll see if you'll speculate a little bit. Where do you think the industry is going with these other types of, maybe immersive environments with AR, VR? What does that look like in terms of the overlap and sort of integration with what you're building?
Yes, so definitely this enable new paradigms, right? So what I'm personally excited is a paradigm where all the change actually enable like kind of financial application to be built on top of it, right? But with this, we bring like the social value in it. Now, a new kind of application like social and financial paradigm can be taken. It's very difficult for me to comment like how exactly it would shape like. It's just the people who are like making Ethereum, they just envisioned, okay, there would be like fungible token and non-fungible token. So they were called in future like ERC-20 and ERC-721. They became tokens and NFTs on that part. So I can just know the primitives. It would be like social and financial on those things. But the application that are built today as of now is like it's there in Favor, is there in Butterfly. So all the Web3 Twitters that are coming, so social on-chain, so they are using our technology to bring this real-time communication, and it feels very lively on that part. So it enables the social value, right? This technology, all the real-time on those things. So that's one thing. The other thing that I'm quite, it has a very, in future, it might have a very use case into the spatial computing. The spatial computing that the AR glasses enable, which is like your Vision Pro, the Meta glasses from like Jug and those things. Third is what happening is in our technology industry that robots are coming into the picture. So if you can see Tesla or other things, so it becomes the eyes and ears for these robots to communicate in real time, either to humans or to other robot on those part. So this technology actually does not, it only provide this communication. So the endpoints can be like a user, a human or a bot or like a Apple Vision Pro set. It can be your mobile, it can be your laptop. It does this communication between them.
It really sounds like the best is yet to come in terms of these new applications that'll be built on top of what you're building in particular. I think the AI angle is really interesting. It's certainly within the DeepIn space. You've seen quite a bit of this machine economy and sort of these machine IDs coming into the network, utilizing AI to be a real viable participant in that ecosystem, and hearing how you can bring the communication layer to that is quite fascinating. I'm really interested to hear that. So I have some personal anecdotes and experience on the developer side with my day job at Threnum. Obviously, we're working with Huddle01 to bring the video into our application. So for everybody else who maybe isn't on the developer side, can you talk through what your developer ecosystem looks like today?
Yep. So our SDKs are basically like we are diversifying our application, our SDKs, but they're becoming more mature and mature day by day. So we have like web SDKs, we have like mobile SDKs, and our gaming SDKs, which is through Unity, it is being developed. Even like Huddle application is built on top of Huddle SDKs that we are using. So it's very easy to integrate. Like it'll just take like 5 or 10 minutes to integrate this technology with you. But it took us like 3 years to mature this technology. So you don't have to like go through all of the headaches and all of those things to this. So this network, you get this, the superpower of this real-time communication network, like within 5 minutes in your application. So you can like build business logic on top of it and take this further.
I'm curious around some of the gaming applications. Do you have any specific use cases that you're able to talk about where people are building real-time communication with your SDKs in various games?
So like our gaming SDKs are still into the development, I would say, but the real-time communication in games do exist on that part. So if you see like Call of Duty, so they're like four people and they like communicate with each other and they go. So there are a lot of games like MMORPG games, which are like team games. They require this communication to be happening in the real time in the game so that it feels like very social on those part. So it will like enable the new generation of games that are coming to integrate this and use this into their own thing. So this is the application that I'm seeing on the game side. It is yet to be out there. But the interesting thing, a POC, so we organized an internal hackathon, and in internal hackathon, people made like a metaverse in the browser. So like one one entity was talking to other entities on that thing. So definitely that POC do exist. It's just that it's not there in the production or out. And the second thing very interesting that I've seen is that people have started making a phone call application with Huddle's infrastructure. So now you can like literally call like susmit.eth or tyler.eth. So there would be like a ringtone going into your wallet, and just click, and like just like Telegram and WhatsApp call, now your wallet become a FaceTime.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly what we're working on with your integration. So I'm super familiar about all the prospects there, and I think it's not only great to have sort of a like-minded ethos project on the RTC side, because that's so important, but in addition to all of the, you know, kind of the Web3 aspects of it, the security level with the end-to-end encryption is really exciting too. And that's something that has been of particular focus from my understanding in the last few months. Do you want to dive into that a little bit more and kind of talk about some of the security elements from your protocol as well?
Yeah. So like it would be the end-to-end security is like quite established. So if you see the internet, so if it is works on client server, so this transport is encrypted, but the server can actually see the data, right? So what we need is like, suppose if we both are having the meeting and if there is a server in between, that server can actually see our data. It's because it is transport encrypted, but not content encrypted, right? But what we can do is bring end-to-end encryption, which means your audio video data can be like only decrypted by you. And not even Huddle nodes can see those data. So we can bring this end-to-end encryption with our crypto wallets on that part. And actually in like one of the Phil Bangalore events, I actually showed the demo how we established like the end-to-end encryptions on those parts. So that is one of the security angles on that part. The second is like this meeting actually works in kind of sandbox environment. Like the browser does not have the kernel access to your laptop, right? So it's anyway, like it's much more secure on the endpoint side of things. So your data is secure and your personal laptop is secure. It's just that you want to do communication. It's their communication. Only the channels who are like into those meetings can be like they can see each other data, and that's what the intent is. And then other is like we have like host control. So you can basically lock and unlock the meeting so that external people don't like bomb into the meeting whenever that meeting is happening. So we have like the user privacy and all of those things is one of the top priority for us. And I think that's the major thing, like we keep on a very high priority. So if a node is not behaving according to the protocol, they can only be part of the protocol when they like have some stake into the system. So they would be exposed to the slashing algorithms if they don't behave according to the protocols that have been set. But since they have their incentives from the block reward, they have no incentives to like actually monetize the data that is going. And anyway, they cannot see the data because it's like encrypted. So like economic and cryptographic security.
That's incredible to hear. I love how all of these different facets find their way into building a way better version of a mousetrap that you just can't do in sort of a centralized fashion. So speaking of the actual nodes and the kind of the decentralized physical infrastructure part, if you will, you announced not too long ago your hardware component to the ecosystem, to the mix. Can you talk a little bit about what that is, what that looks like, how that's coming to market, and just give a bit of alpha for everybody who's tuning in?
Yes. So Tyler, one of the best things we were able to do is like run our meeting on a physical media node. And we just demoed it to our community, and that went very viral on the Twitter and everywhere. And like everyone was asking about Huddle's media node on those things. So what it does is basically it like routes the audio video packets, and like anyone can become media node with just that Huddle's media node. Now, like this thing is so powerful that we as a Huddle might not need to use AWS, right? So it goes, instead of going to AWS, it goes to this Huddle's media node on that part. So this is like, it has to overcome the CapEx and OpEx cost that is reflected into AWS pricing. And AWS has like the vendor lock-in system. So like if you send the data into AWS, it's free. But when you take out the data from the AWS, they charge for the data, right? So that's why Zoom is very pricey. But like once this Huddle Media Notes comes into the picture, so like the data inside and outside can go out because it is like people owned on that part. And the other, so this is one thing, like on economics point of time, we get like a advantage on those things. The second thing is that when this media node, it gives us performance advantage also. So in the sense that this audio video meeting happened on UDP, right? And the problem with UDP is that the more path it travels, the more packet loss that happened. Now for our technology, like real-time communication, the meeting has to be high quality and under low latency. So your audio video packet should be in less than 100 milliseconds for us to happen this coherently. So it matters, right? So if there is a node in India, so people having meeting in India get assigned to that node. So physical path is like we have cut down. But if it like AWS infrastructures and it is in America, so like we have to send the packets to America and then they like charge more when you take out the part and like there's like more distance on those parts. So it kind of make this Airbnb for the RTC, these nodes enabled.
Yeah, I love that it solves two problems that are really important for people that are leveraging real-time communication. There's the cost standpoint. You know, you use AWS example, and that's a pain point that I think almost everybody who's ever built a commercial application can empathize with. But the other thing is the value of once you distribute these nodes, you can do exactly what you said. You can keep the latency down. Of course, the encryption part and the security aspect is really critical too, but you actually get a better version of RTC as a function of having these nodes distributed, which is so cool. I mean, it is the perfect encapsulation of this deepened model working in real time, which is amazing to hear about.
Yes. So basically what this physical media node does is that it helps your network to bootstrap your own cloud. And
that's amazing.
The cloud that we have is basically someone else's computer. Right. Is maybe
right.
Amazon's or like Google's or like all those. Or Microsoft.
Yeah.
Three options. So like with
right.
different incentives, we can bootstrap our own AWS infrastructure.
That's just the power of Deepin working itself into real time. You've talked a little bit about some of the incentive mechanisms, and you know, you referred to bad actors or participants getting slashed, you know, for doing that. Can you talk through some of the other applications or the real value that Web3 or the blockchain layer plays within your ecosystem, specifically with rewards, incentivizing the right behavior, good behavior? But can you talk through additional applications or sort of components of the blockchain within your ecosystem?
Right. So like the blockchain is like, we need to see like what's the service that we are providing. So our network provides a unit commodity service called communication minutes, right? So it's like a commodity and it is like traded with the external world where Huddle application can consume it and SDKs can consume those things. But where the blockchain actually comes into the picture is that you can have this economic wiring that goes into this, right? That can be basically on the blockchain on that part. And what it does is that it basically makes the system secure and it's like not under someone's control on those part. Like in blockchain, you can always transfer your money to other person, or you can always write logic that's like that can reset to some conditions that we have made. So anyway, we believe is that all the financial angle and all of those things, we can put it on chain on those parts. So people can hold assets, generate value, all those things happens on the chain itself. So it basically provides this security to the economics that's there within this DRTC network that exists. So it's like an economy, but this economy, instead of like being in control of banks, because banks are also like a central point of failure, it can be given to a network like Ethereum network or L2s or like Solana. We actually don't care on those part. It's just that we just believe like to have a collaborative approach on those things and like just use the best part of what the block space that the L1s provide us.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear about. From the technical perspective or going into the weeds a little bit, have you built or prototyped on a specific blockchain? Are you building your own kind of L1 or using a roll-up? Do you have any details or insights you're able to share there?
Yeah. So we are basically exploring on this part and right. So, but I would say like what we need is like, suppose we have this DRTC network. So every chain is basically connected to other chain in form of bridges, right? So there are like canonical bridges and there are external bridges on this part. So all the cross-chain bridges are like kind of external bridges, and all the layer twos are connected to layer one on the canonical bridge on that part. But anyway, everyone is like an independent entities of their own. So now the question comes is like an engineering question, whether you want to have your own consensus algorithm within your own network, or whether you want to use consensus algorithm of the other L1s, and then you like just figure out what's the best. So what we have seen is like Ethereum has a very good security it gives you. Solana gives you like a very fast finality time, and there are like new consensus algorithm being developed, which is like the interplanetary consensus from the Filecoin team. And the third is like the Tendermint, like it brings like you can make your own BFT POS consensus. So anyway, like we have a lot of options to like just play around. But like the best way to solve this is like figuring out is like we have this network and it is connected to each and other network through canonical and external bridges.
That's fantastic. That's a great thorough overview. And for those who are evaluating, or maybe they're builders, can start sort of thinking of these other components as how they approach architecting or building their solution. I think that's really interesting and helpful advice for those other builders out there. For listeners who are interested in participating, sort of getting involved within the ecosystem, what ways can folks start to participate and join the network and become contributors or be, you know, testers? What does that look like in terms of engagement in the current state of your guys' product development?
Yeah, so first engagement is like we have like products. So Huddle application, like use Huddle application is like free and is much better than other products, I believe, like Google Meet and Zoom. The second is like the audio spaces that we can use. And third is like you can build your own applications on top of our own SDKs on those part. And the fourth contribution is like on the research side of things. So currently what we are researching is like the media nodes and the other like algorithms to make this SFU more advanced and more performant in nature. But like if you can just hop on, anyone can hop onto our Discord and just like come in, like if they want to contribute out to our network and development or be part of it, like we are happy to have them on our Discord and get them in. And the other is like if they just want to use Huddle is free to use as of now, Audio Space is free to use. And if they like something breaks or something not working, or they have like feedback on UI UX, they can just get tell us and we'll like reflect it in like 2 or 3 days on the application side. So that's the thing. And even like our SDKs, if they like more demand for other kind of SDKs in other devices, maybe IoTs or Apple Watch or anything, so we can like figure out how we make those SDKs fast to cater them on those type.
That's incredible. That's really exciting for those that want to start getting their hands dirty and building and integrating with what you're doing. Love to hear the receptiveness to feedback. That's really important on the product development side. I had a question on the actual media nodes. Do you have any rough timelines or expectations that users could be in, you know, expecting or anticipating in terms of when they might be available?
I think by Q3 we would be able to have a good media notes into the hands of people.
Okay, well, we'll be excited and eagerly awaiting those. I tell everybody that comes on, I have to get my hands dirty with projects. You guys are probably the most integrated or involved I've been in an actual project because of the development side for what I do over at 3NUM. But I'm very excited to get my hands on the hardware and be a part of the infrastructure network because that's what this is all about. So I think everybody's going to be super excited to see those come to real life.
Yep, definitely. So, and we are working towards that end goal. Like, so what we want is like we give this power of technologies to the hand of people, and we just abstract out the learning curve that they have with the technology. So it just like becomes plug and play for them, and they basically also get the value out of it on those things. So those are like our long-term visions that we see give the power of real-time communication back to the people on those things, and we are working towards that part. There are like some few challenges that we need to solve, particularly giving like what are the implications of giving the media nodes to the people? How do we make it secure for people who are using this media node? How do we wire the economic incentives, all of those things? So we just want to be like a very battle tested all those things, and then we would like give it to communities on those things so that we just do the heavy work for them. Like nothing, we just want like community to do the work. what I've seen other protocol is that they make the technology and then they dump the technology on the community. So it's like up to the community to maintain and run and all of those things. So we don't want to be in that position. What we want is like, we don't want to make technology. We want to make a technology that produces this value and then distribute this value to the other people, right? That is where you get this flywheel up and running.
That's amazing. I think that that is not only a recipe for success, but those that want to begin participating, they know that there's not such a high barrier to entry that it's prohibitive in any respect. So kudos to the team and specifically to you for really thinking through that and making it obtainable and approachable for the rest of us who either don't know or don't have the time to sort of dig into the weeds. I think that's really incredible. Well, we've covered so many different things in terms of what you're building on the protocol side, on the developer tool side, the hardware side. Was there anything else that you wanted to add about what you're building or what maybe users or community members could expect coming forward from the Huddle01 team?
Yeah, so we are working on the white paper and then the public facing of the white paper. The second thing is like working on our analytics, making it open source that anyone can see the data and do the fingerprinting. Third is like kind of blockchain explorer for the calls, so you can like just explore the calls on those things. Then the other thing is refining the UI UX of our web application and the mobile application. So and another thing that we have is like the stability and scalability of the Huddle applications on those time. And yeah, media notes, that's the best part, right? People are excited about. So getting this production ready.
Yeah, you certainly have your hands full in terms of development and work that's being done. Everybody's really excited to see those different components come to real life. We're certainly rooting for you. Well, for those that are interested in learning more, being a part of the community, where should they go to start looking? You mentioned Discord. Are there other places where folks can start getting involved?
Yeah, so if you just go to Huddle01 website, so there's like documentation. And you can just see all the documentation regarding the SDKs there. And other is like our Discord and Telegram communities. They're pretty much active on those things. And the other platform is like, I'm very active on the Twitter. So just tag me on the Twitter if you like just want to. And like, I'll follow up from there. And you like anyone from the Huddle team would follow up from there.
Well, and we'll be sure to link all of that below so folks can easily find it. The website, Discord, Twitter, we'll be sure to have it all down below. Well, this has been a very, very fun conversation for me. Like I said, I've probably had the most exposure to what you're doing just personally. And so getting a chance to talk about all of that in a conductive medium is so amazing. And your team is doing a lot of important work and seeing that come to real life is just incredible to see. So I wanted to thank you again for having a chance to take some time out at ETH Denver, which is a very fun event, and come onto the pod and talk about what you're doing because it's important stuff. So I just wanted to say thank you so much again.
Yep. And thanks, Tyler, for having me on the DeepIn podcast. And you're doing such an amazing job to covering all the DeepIn projects that are actually bringing this utility value to the end user. And this is what I'm excited about, right? Instead of making like about these financial games and like you made this trade and all of those things, it's about like adding utility to the end user. So that is what like I'm excited about. And I'm so glad and honored that you found me worthy enough to be on your own podcast. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. You are always always welcome and invited to come and share about updates. We really appreciate you coming on. Well, this has been, like I said, just a great conversation. Super excited for everything that you're doing. But we will be sure to link all that below so you can go stay up to date with the team, with the project, and just wanted to thank you again. So thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in. We'll wrap it up there, and we will see you on the next one. Take care.